and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
And I'm Ron. And unfortunately, Jean Marie won't be able to join us today. Collectively, we are the hosts of Podcast DX. And on today's show, we will be talking about enteroviruses.
The genus enterovirus includes 100 or so species of viruses, including the viruses that cause polio, acute flaccid myelitis, or AFM, hand, foot, and mouth disease, and myocarditis. We are going to be talking about two species of enteroviruses that have been making the headlines recently, poliovirus and enterovirus D68. Both viruses are known to affect young children. In extreme cases, both are associated with the risk of a paralysis, and in a very rare case, even death.
And according to the World Health Organization, polio or poliomyelitis is a highly infectious disease, which is caused by the poliovirus.
Yes, there are three strains of the wild poliovirus, two of which have been eradicated, which means we got rid of them. Intensive vaccination programs have sought to eliminate polio worldwide. The CDC reported that the number of polio cases has continued to drop each year. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has helped the incidence of polio decrease by 99% since 1988.
And you may have heard about polio in the news lately as part of routine monitoring. The National Institute for Biological Standards and Control in the United Kingdom found vaccine-derived poliovirus in the London sewage system. According to the National Health Service, or NHS, there has not been a reported case of polio infection in the UK since the mid-1990s.
Right, and since we wrote this script, another case has been found here in the United States. So there are mainly two different types of polio vaccine. There is a live oral polio vaccine, OPV, which I can remember being dosed on a sugar cube when I was a youngster. The OPV is a weakened form of polio and is still administered in many areas of the world because it is easy to administer. It's less expensive than the attenuated injectable form of the vaccine.
The Center for Disease Control, the CDC, states that a vaccine-derived poliovirus, also known as VDPV, is a strain of the weakened poliovirus that was initially included an oral polio vaccine, OPV, and that has changed over time and behaves now more like the wild or naturally occurring virus. What this means is that it can be spread more easily to people who are unvaccinated against polio and who come into contact with the stool or respiratory secretions, such as those from a sneeze of someone who's infected by it already.
Right. And polio is typically transmitted from person to person when fecal matter from an individual with polio contaminates food or water and then is ingested by someone who has not been adequately vaccinated. There are two main types of polio infection, non-paralytic polio and paralytic syndrome. Those with a non-paralytic polio infection may experience the same mild flu-like signs and symptoms typical of other viral illnesses. Signs and symptoms, which can last up to 10 days, include fever, sore throat, headache, vomiting, fatigue, back pain or stiffness, neck pain or stiffness in the arms and legs, muscle weakness and tenderness. But paralytic syndrome, on the other hand, this more serious form of the disease is rare. Initial signs and symptoms of paralytic polio are are things like fever and headache, which often mimic those of non-paralytic polio. Within a week or so, however, other signs and symptoms will appear, including a loss of reflexes, you know, like when the doctor checks your reflexes and hammers on your knees. I guess if you lose your reflexes, that's a sign. Severe muscle aches or weakness, loose or floppy limbs, which is called flaccid paralysis. And now I think we should cover the other enterovirus that's been in the news recently, Ron.
I think that's a good idea. All right. What Lita is talking about is the enterovirus D68, which typically affects children. The virus lives in mucus and saliva or spit, as well as phlegm in the lungs and in the stool, which is your poop. It spreads through the following: airborne droplets when an infected person sneezes or coughs, contact with an infected person's poop, for instance, when changing a diaper or helping a child use the toilet, kissing someone who has the virus, sharing eating utensils and cups, and touching contaminated doorknobs, toys, or other surfaces. Children and teens are more likely to have noticeable symptoms of EVD68 because they haven't had enough time yet to build up immunity towards the virus. EVD68 typically causes mild, cold-like symptoms such as a cough, fever, muscle pain or body aches, and runny nose or sneezing. People who have asthma or weak immune systems may develop more severe symptoms. And with these symptoms, you or your child might have wheezing and difficulty breathing. And these symptoms require prompt medical attention. Do not hesitate. Go see the doctor.
Right. I mean, it's got to be scary when you got already, you got the COVID virus going around, and now this is a new one that's popping up, and it has similar symptoms. Can you get this virus more than once, Ron?
Well, you can get the virus anytime you're around someone who has it, so the answer would be yes.
Okay.
However, your immune system gets better at fighting off the virus with each exposure, and that's why adults tend to have mild or non-existent symptoms when they get EVD68, which is the same as what we talked about with COVID. If you get your shots and boosted, you still may get the virus.
But it'll be less.
Exactly.
Right, the symptoms will be less. Okay. Well, according to the Cleveland Clinic, the EVD68 can lead to acute flaccid myelitis, AFM, which is a disorder that causes permanent muscle weakness. Acute flaccid myelitis has emerged in recent years with large outbreaks seen in 2014, 2016, and 2018. AFM, that's acute flaccid myelitis, is a serious neurologic condition that can cause muscle weakness, sometimes leading to permanent paralysis, just like poliomyelitis. The condition is not very common, but it affects the nervous system, especially the spinal cord, and it causes the muscles and reflexes of the body to become weak, and it can often lead to paralysis of the skeletal muscles, which are the muscles that move your arms and legs. And in severe cases, it can affect the muscles of swallowing and breathing. Most AFM cases, more than 90%, have been in children. Recovery from AFM can vary, but rarely involves a full recovery of all strength. Mortality, thank goodness, is low, with only 2 reported deaths out of 682 confirmed AFM cases since 2014 here in the United States. Increasing evidence has grown to show a causal link between enterovirus D68 infection and one of more than 100 non-polio enteroviruses and AFM. EBD68 can cause mild to severe respiratory illnesses like runny nose, wheezing, cough, body aches, muscle aches. But after that, AFM can develop and cause symptoms to progress rapidly. For example, it usually takes 48 to 72 hours for the weakness to get into the worst part of the disease.
Wow. Let me just follow up and say mild symptoms of EBD68 infection typically improve in a week or two with minimal at-home care. And antiviral medications are not effective against this virus. What you can do is take the following steps to help ease the symptoms. Drink lots of fluid and get plenty of rest. Take hot, steamy showers or sit in a steamy bathroom to loosen any congestion. And take over-the-counter pain medication or non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, NSAIDs, for any fever or pain that you might have.
That's good suggestions. Yeah, I've always heard that steaming in the shower helps loosen up if you got this stuff stuck in your lungs.
Right.
People who have breathing difficulties or develop problems like pneumonia require, obviously, hospitalization. During the 2014 outbreak, 14 people died and more than 130 children developed acute flaccid myelitis. There was also a jump in the number of children developing acute flaccid myelitis, or AFM, after the EBD68 outbreaks in 2016 and 2018. Experts believe that the virus may settle in the spinal fluid, leading to AFM. Signs of AFM appear suddenly and are similar to that of a stroke, like arm or leg weakness, slurred speech, facial drooping. AFM typically develops a few weeks after a child recovers from a respiratory infection. Seek medical attention immediately if AFM symptoms appear after your child has a respiratory infection, because then it may be the acute,
the most serious, right?
Flaccid myelitis.
That's very good advice, Lita. There is no treatment for polio, and since the EBD68 can become more serious in some individuals, prevention is the key. You can slow or stop the spread of it. I'm sorry. You can slow or stop the spread of EBD68 infection by practicing good hygiene, which includes sneezing or coughing into the crook of your elbow, disinfecting high-touch surfaces like toys, countertops, and doorknobs, and don't share any eating utensils, cups, towels, or clothing, and separating ill children from healthy family members and classmates whenever possible. And of course, always wash hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds.
Absolutely. Hand washing can go a long way in preventing the spread of enteroviruses.
Ironically, everything we talk about, the prevention is pretty
good
much
hygiene,
the same.
Right?
Yeah, clean surfaces, clean hygiene.
Right.
So yep. I guess maybe the doctors, the experts know what they're talking about.
I hope so. I hope so. Fecal contamination in pools and lakes can also spread disease. And, you know, remember, we've got a global reach here, so we got to be
right,
considering the people that are overseas. The International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health published a report stating that a majority of swimming pool-related outbreaks have been caused by enteric viruses. 48% of viral outbreaks occur in swimming pools, 40% in lakes or ponds, and 12% in fountains, hot springs, or rivers.
Wow, that makes me feel like not going into the water.
Well, Jeez. Yeah, but you wear a mask, right?
Yeah.
So you're breathing. You're not,
right.
Yeah, I think you're a little safer.
Well, getting back.
Let's get everybody into scuba gear.
So keeping up with chlorination for the water or other disinfecting ways of keeping pools clean is an absolute must. And note that if you're swimming in a lake, pond, or river, please do not drink the water.
Right, absolutely. And if you get any in your mouth, spit it out and rinse your mouth out.
Exactly.
There are a number of amazing organizations and resources out there if you want to learn more about poliovirus and Enterovirus D68, and we're going to include those on our website. But I think we burned through some brain cells today with all this virus talk, and we're still in the middle of a pandemic, so let's wrap it up.
All righty then. If you have any questions or comments related to today's show, you can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
Or TikTok. I should have put TikTok in there. And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.